I really got behind this morning. I blame Mike Murphy. Mike Henry is joining us, Carbondale Mayor. Mike, how you been, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's not like you to get behind either.
I know. I'm usually right on time, but Murph, I indulge him. Hey, I got a ton of stuff. You mind if I get started?
Yeah, go on.
Halloween, talk to Steve Mitchell. I know, and he gave us kind of an inclination of the what we're seeing canceled. And now, of course, that was before the IDPH guidelines, I think, about a week ago today. So what is going to continue on when it comes to incorporating what was once a troublesome holiday into a productive cultural and family event for Carbondale?
Well, we're going to allow our children to trick-or-treat. We have one street in Carbondale that has become the place to go for trick-or-treating. It's on Glenview. Includes the city manager's house, oddly enough. But we're actually going to block off three blocks of that street and get our kids to trick-or-treat there. We have a lot of guidelines out for it. The people handing out candy need to be wearing masks, and the kids, we're encouraging parents to get masks for the kids that they can wear under their Halloween costume mask. And we don't anticipate any other activities in town other than that. We are not going to try to stop trick-or-treating. So just putting out a lot of good word for people to try to stay safe.
Carbondale Police Department, Randy Mathis, is the person to call if you want to be able to help out. The Pumpkin Patrol in Carbondale.
Exactly.
So I know Carbondale PD is working on this. Mike, have you gotten a sense? I mean, I've tried to feel somebody's emotions as a group, and it's kind of difficult sometimes, so I need your help. I kind of get the idea the business community is kind of acquiesced to our situation and come to the realization it's going to be a slog going forward. And they're taking all the precautions they can, you know, trying to keep their business, their employees rolling. What's your feeling? Am I off base, or, you know, is that where we're at in the business community in Carbondale?
No, Tom, I feel exactly the same way that you do. And we're seeing and you know, the businesses that are having the most trouble are really our restaurants with trying to do indoor dining or even outdoor dining. And of course, it's getting chilly now for outdoor dining. But, you know, we have a lot of good operators here in Carbondale, and they have had to be closed, and they've opened gradually. My wife and I, Terry, have eaten at a couple of places in the last couple of weeks inside, and they're just doing a stellar job. They're following every possible guideline that you can imagine that's been put out there, and we felt safe. We saw our server approaching the table. We'd put our masks back on. Our servers always had masks on, so it's not quite what it was going to, has been going out to dinner, but you can get out and get a very good meal. And in fact, I'm going out for my birthday on October 9th with another couple, and so we're getting a table for six, and we'll have four, and we'll be able to distance. You know.
Well, happy birthday!
Making it work.
Yours is on the 9th. Mine's on the 26th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. You know, I was looking at the Jackson County numbers. They were a little up yesterday than what they have been. Eight new positive cases, female, one in their 60s, two in their 50s, males, one in under 10, two in their 20s, one in their 40s, one in their 60s, in the male category, with 39 active cases when you compare it to other counties. And the past in Jackson County, and much higher numbers, at some point almost 200 active cases. Do you think Carbondale's mask mandates have contributed to keeping the overall numbers in Jackson County down?
No, absolutely. You know, with all of our students coming back into town, and we were very, very concerned about that, and worked closely with SIU. SIU put a lot of guidelines in for students and really laid the law down for them. And I'm very, very encouraged by Carbondale's numbers, considering we had, you know, I think we had actually in town about 8,000 to 9,000 students came in town.
Mm-hmm.
And
we just didn't see a massive spike.
And it's interesting because in Wisconsin, I believe, is that Whitmer? Or Michigan, one of the others, Wisconsin, that's what it was. And the governor says the reason our numbers are going up, they've got like a 7% positivity rating, it's the college students' fault. And I couldn't help but think, well, then how did SIU do it? Let's go to this, SIU. And it's interesting because I talked to business owners, just like the restaurants we talked about earlier, and they say, basketball, man, when we have a basketball game, this place is packed. Basketball is awesome. Well, we've got that on the horizon, but football also, right? People come into town, they spend money. Well, we're going to see football, but I don't know what we're going to see, if any, benefits in the business community from that game going on because of the limitations that we've learned about yesterday.
Well, yeah, you have to be essentially, you better be a season ticket holder or you're not going to get in there in the stadium. And SIU is looking at a maximum of 20% occupancy of the stadium. And and a lot of the, you know, there's a lot of businesses and such that have rooms in the stadium where they have, you know, food and beverages and that thing. You watch the games from up in the sky boxes. You know, the Alumni Association has a large room up there, and those are going to be really restricted pretty severely. So, you know, the only real contact is going to be with our players and the team they're playing. So, and that's a concern for us too. You know, we don't want those guys getting it, but they're going to have the best chance of it, unfortunately.
Well,
so,
if the only way you'll be able to see the game is listen to Mike Reese, then that's one of the ways to look at it.
There you go. Good old Mike Reese.
Mike, you know, you and others in Carbondale have been very concerned about the census. The deadline is growing closer and closer every day. What about your percentage number? Is it going up?
Very slowly. Yeah, just very slowly. We have a lot of people, a lot of volunteers out working and just knocking on doors. And there are some demographics that are just afraid of the census. And, you know, we, in fact, when the governor was down a little over a week ago to talk about the census, and I have a census. There.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we
I've
lost
got three
you.
Of them. I can, they're washable, and I can put a census. So I wear a census mask around all the time.
Okay.
We count. It says we count 2020 or something like that on it. So,
Mike, if this number doesn't grow and get to where you think it should be, will you ask for a recount as Carbondale did 10 years ago?
You know, we're considering that. We're gonna wait and see where we are. We're pretty sure we're going to lose home rule authority, which happens automatically with populations of 25,000. So we don't think there's any way that we're going to have automatic home rule authority. But we do want an accurate count. You know, every citizen is worth $1,400 a year for 10 years in federal and state aid.
Do you think you'll lose home rule status, Mike?
Yeah, I'm absolutely certain we will.
Yikes.
I don't have any doubt about it. And the biggest change is the student population.
Right, which was the contention 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was the student population. It costs money to ask for a recount, too.
Right.
How much? Right. You know the figure? I used to know it, and I don't anymore.
You know, I used to, too, but I don't know it anymore either.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what about search for police chief, buddy? What are you doing? What's the story there?
We're just pedaling, treading water. You know, we have a good man in place as interim, as Reno, and he's been with the force for a long time, chief, and now he's acting chief. Not even sure if Stan is interested in the chief position. So we're going to do a search. Eventually, we're not in a hurry to do that, mainly because we're watching our budget. You know,
Mike,
loss of revenues.
Yeah, Mike, we're having a real problem with the phone here, sir. It's starting to attenuate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it yours or mine?
I think it's yours because I'm on hard wires here. So if I ask you a question over again, you'll understand why. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I would, to be honest with you, I've known Chief Grubbs for much longer than before he was a chief of police. I know his relatives from back Saline County, Sam Grubbs, and all those guys. I was surprised that he turned in his notice. I really was. You?
Well, Chief and I became good friends, so I wasn't really surprised. It was just sort of a question of when. And he just wants to spend a little more time with his family and, you know, kind of de-stress his life a little bit.
Yeah.
And just, you know, he's put in his time, and he's at his full retirement age or term of service. And so, you know, we talked about it, and, I tell you, I hate to see him go, but I understand it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, the new chief, and we'll be able to help everyone, the police officers, figure out what to do with the roundabout when they finish building that on Chautauqua and McClafferty. I'm wondering how the people of Carbondale, because the construction starts, I keep thinking, I've got in my notes this morning, October 19th, it'll take a while to get it done. I've seen it introduced in other people, and people just stare at it numbly and go, what the heck is this? What do I do now? They say it's safer, but if you don't know what you're doing, nothing's safer.
It's about 4 blocks from my house, so it'll be interesting. But that's a dangerous intersection. I mean, if you just drive through it, you know, at 10 in the morning, it's not bad. But at rush hour, quote unquote, both of them, people drive, the speed limit is 30, and I mean, they're hitting 45 and 50, and they're crowning a hill or dropping down over that steep hill. And we've had a lot of accidents there.
Right.
So that's
right.
What really qualified the intersection for, you know, some grant money to experiment with a roundabout. And, you know, if you think about it, Pinckneyville has a roundabout. Marion has a roundabout. My first roundabout experience of a big one was I'd never been to Europe and never driven on the left side of the road. And if you want a mind blower, hit a roundabout when you got to go left into it instead of right, and it's 4 lanes wide.
No, it's not me. I'm from Saline County. I still use turn lights on turn signals on gravel roads, man. My first time I had a nervous breakdown was in your town after doing a presentation at the high school, and I was working in Harrisburg, and there was a 1-lane road, and how do I get home? So, yeah, I'm not good with that stuff. You know, it's interesting, and I've had this conversation with law enforcement officials and state's attorneys, and that these changes when it comes to releasing people, all right, are in the system, have been arrested for things, and how we let them go now, whereas before we kept them, right? And even more being introduced, the end of the use of cash bail system and limited pretrial detention. And this was announced yesterday by the governor, but there's already some of this in play. And the police and the state's attorneys have both told me the shootings, Carbondale, Jackson County, Williamson County, Saline County, that those names are interchangeable, and very often they've already come into contact with police, and they're not able to keep them for whatever reason, and they're back out recommitting the next day, literally the term that was used with me. Now, I wonder. You've seen a lot of these mysterious shootings, the Dark Charger, and all these stories that we've seen. Mike, what is going on, and are these new standards for releasing people contributing to the problem you have in Carbondale? Because I've got people telling me it does.
Well, you know, honestly, I think it does also. You know, the other side of it is there has been some abuse of that system. There needs to be a happy medium here somewhere in how we do this. I think we went from one extreme all the way to the other, and now we're just too lenient with it.
What do you think can be done? Under the current situation, what do you think can be done, Mayor, to help this? Because people in and around, and there's two views. There, you know, when you're in the fishbowl, right, you hear the echo of the people in your community. But whenever I go outside of the immediate area, this is the thing that people talk about, Carbondale. They don't talk about enrollment at SIU. They don't talk about the football game. They say, what the hell's going on in Carbondale?
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at our statistics, where they live,
Well, Mike, there goes the phone on the part where we go. So I'm going to ask that question again. Talk to me again. Carbondale shooting, what's going on? Because we lost your phone signal again. And I think we just lost it completely. And it appears that's the case. Mike, you there? All right, we're going to take a small break because I want to finish this conversation. I think you want to hear the end of it. So I'm going to be back in a flash. All right, I've got Mike back on another phone line. Thanks, Mike. But let's restart this. Not completely, but I want to pick this up because you know as well as I do, people want to hear the answer. We lost you about the time I was saying people outside of Carbondale say, what the hell's going on in Carbondale? Can we pick it up there, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. You know, about half of our perpetrators, of the people that are arrested, are from outside of Carbondale. From as far away as Mount Vernon sometimes. And so it seems like we have bad actors coming here, and I hate to use the word gangs because I'm not sure of gangs, but it seems like they're coming here to cause trouble for each other.
Oh.
And for some reason we've become that hub, which is not the kind of hub you want to be. But we have, you know, a very active police force, and the most officers on duty any time are from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, people right now, probably, somebody's saying, well, it's drugs, it's money, money.
Well, it is. It's drugs and guns. And, you know, they're dealing drugs and they're dealing guns.
Okay.
And, of course, they're carrying guns.
Right. And this shooting into each other's cars, you know, in areas. And I talked to someone who lived in the neighborhood, and they were walking their dog, and they said it was about 10:30. And I thought it was fireworks. And then I said, no. She said, she says, no, that sounds like what my dad sounds like whenever I lived at home and he was shooting a gun. That's what it sounded like. I was sure it was a gun. And it turned out, when I looked at the police report, it was.
Yeah, and there's domestic disputes now that there's firearms involved with. It's not just battering. Both sides are picking up a gun and shooting at each other.
Right.
And so it's just this mentality. I mean, it's just changed. I don't know what the social side of it is, but my guess is it's just stress, you know, living too close together, too many, you know, people concentrated in a small space, people out of work, just all kinds of things are building up.
Mm-hmm. Mike, let's talk about money before we're almost out of time, and I want to hit you with this too, because, you know, we've seen this argument going on. We need more money in Illinois, right, in the federal government. We need more money. We need it now. We need more money now, all right? And then they allot money March 27th, and they make it so difficult, right, for municipalities and counties. I was curious, what's your status when it comes to applying your or submitting your certificate, as the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity states it, for the CURE funds? What's your status?
Well, we're pretty much like everybody else. We're still waiting on the funds. We've had some probably 2-3 months ago, but supposedly there's still more in the pipeline, and but we're not seeing it. What we're hearing is it's going to be less than we expected, and we're just not sure. It's difficult to get reliable information on it because it seems like it changes almost daily.
All right. So what are you going to do next with this? Because the sum of money that Carbondale is eligible for is substantial.
Yeah, and you know, it's part of the reason, you know, I try to have a good working relationship with the governor and the governor's office. You know, our U.S. senators are on top of this, as well as our congressmen for this, U.S. congressmen for this area. So they're all working on it. It just is this massive federal government mess, you know.
Right.
And
I don't know that's federal,
and
but
the
I don't know if it's
are trying to hang on to some money because they have financial needs.
And there you have it.
So,
you know, $1,068,536 Carbondale's eligible for a per capita basis.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you look at what you're down in revenue, it's right in that neighborhood, isn't it?
It's at least that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's at least that. And we're really waiting to get some more current numbers from the state on our sales tax revenues and those kinds of things, but we could easily be down by $2 million or so.